Our Bible reading is from Ephesians chapter 4. We're thinking about wisdom in the things that we say this morning. Wisdom in the things we say. And Ephesians 4 has plenty to say about that too.
This is Ephesians 4, starting at verse 22, and it's on page 1175 in the Church Bibles. And Paul is teaching the Christians in Ephesus. You were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbour, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up, according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you.
Okay, we are in the book of Proverbs this morning. Wisdom about the things we say. You may remember, if you were here when we started this series, I talked briefly about jelly babies and gobstoppers. You remember that? And I said that lots of verses of scripture, lots of bits of scripture are like jelly babies. You can put them in your mouth, you can chew it around, and you get an instant hit of sweetness, and it's wonderful. But some bits of scripture are more like gobstoppers, where you have to suck it for quite some time before anything changes at all, and it just takes a bit of focused effort to get anywhere with it. Well, Proverbs are a bit like that, and this morning we're going to be chewing on some of these proverbs about the way we speak, the things that we say. So, this is the first one. I'm going to read it to you and then you can read it all together, okay? Those who guard their lips preserve their lives, but those who speak rashly will come to ruin. You want to have a go? Right. Those who guard their lips preserve their lives, but those who speak rashly will come to ruin. Right. What does it mean by guarding your lips? Why might your lips need to be guarded? It made me think, like, what other things do we guard? Like you might guard prisoners in a prison cell. You might put a fire guard around a fire, mightn't you? You might put a cage around the lion. You put a soft rubber floor around a climbing frame, like in Hanley Park. And all those things are to protect us from the dangerous thing. The implication is that lips are dangerous. Lips are dangerous. But who are they dangerous to? You see, the obvious thing is that my lips are dangerous to you, but that's not actually what it says, is it? It says those who guard their own lips preserve their lives. This proverb is about guarding ourselves. Preserving ourselves. I think this is the point. If you make an effort to guard what you say, it is not wasted effort. you're preserving your life. If you're careful about what you say, it's really, really worth it. Look at the opposite. The opposite of guarding your lips is to speak rashly. You see that? To speak rashly. To have no control over what you say. So saying whatever you think, whatever comes into your head, you just say it. You know someone like that? Perhaps you are someone like that. I don't know. My favourite Chinese restaurant burnt down a couple of weeks ago. Do you know one for Farama Palace in Trent Vale? Absolutely gutted. I was gutted. The building was even more so. Anyway. James chapter 3 says this. Describes the tongue as setting the whole course of your life on fire. Wow. That's quite strong, isn't it? In other words, your tongue, your own tongue, can burn your life to the ground. I don't know if you're a fan of MasterChef or were. John Turode, one of the hosts of MasterChef on TV, I think ended his entire career with one word. I wonder, though, how many relationships are destroyed by words. The slow grind of criticism and nagging and anger. And churches are harmed by it as well, aren't they? Unthinking, unkind words. I just say what I think. Some people say, you know, I just say what I think. I call a spade a spade. Speak as I find. Well, that is not an option for a Christian. That is not an option. That is part of your old self, which you must put off, according to Ephesians 4. You have to guard our lips. If you want to preserve your life, if you want to flourish in this life, you must guard what you say, because your lips, your words are dangerous. Not just to other people, but to ourselves as well. So let's pray, shall we? After each of these proverbs, we're going to pray for a moment. So Father, as we come to consider proverbs about how we talk, help us to learn from your word. And Holy Spirit, help us to take seriously the warnings and the encouragements that you have for us. Amen. Here's the next one. The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Should we say it together? The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. I remember one of my children, you'll probably be able to figure out which one, always had a fascination with weaponry. And one of his favourite weapons was a wooden short sword that I think we got from some museum somewhere. And I remember discussing this Bible verse with him. I've literally never seen him more engaged in the Bible than this conversation we had. But listen, if you're a sword owner, we're just chewing this over. If you're a sword owner, what kind of person do you need to be? Or if you're firearms trained in the police, I'm guessing they're quite careful about who they give the guns to. Am I right? If you're a sword owner, you need to be careful, disciplined, and trained, don't you? Now, just imagine a reckless sword owner. Okay? A reckless sword owner. Imagine someone swinging a sword around in a public place. You go up Hanley Park with a sword. It's not going to go well, is it? John will be straight after you. The words of reckless people pierce like swords. Can you think of reckless things that maybe you've said or had said to you? I hate you. It's a good example. Or this one. I don't care what you think. Or just shut up, will you? You always do X, Y, Z. Well, you never do whatever it is. You're making a big deal out of nothing. Here we go again. Reckless words. And they pierce. They pierce. Well, what does that mean? What does it mean to pierce? Let's chew it around a little bit. It's on the surface level, of course, being pierced with a sword is going to hurt, isn't it? All right. So if someone says something piercing to you, that's going to be painful to you. But as I sort of chewed over the gobstopper, I thought, you know what? A sword injury is quite small on the outside, actually. Swords are only very narrow, very sharp. You know, the injury you see on the outside, I mean, I'm no medic, all right, so if I get this wrong, forgive me. But, you know, the injury you see on the outside might be quite small, but you know where the real damage is done? It's on the inside, isn't it? It's when it pierces your liver or something, or cuts through your intestine. That's what's going to kill you. Reckless words perhaps don't show much damage on the outside. All the damage is on the inside. You put a smile on and carry on. But inside, can't stop thinking about what they said. I remember that someone said something to me years and years and years ago. And for years, I used to think about it for years. Of course, terrible hurt for years. And even when it's healed up, you know, a sword injury is going to leave a scar, isn't it? There's some permanence to that. Reckless words can cause lasting damage that never really heals completely. I know people, and I'm sure you do too, who are bitter. They're bitter people because of words spoken in anger. And there's unforgiveness and resentment, and it just sits there on the surface like a scar, and underneath there's catastrophic damage. It's tragic, isn't it? It all comes from reckless words, one of the things that cause that, reckless words. But there's a second half to this, isn't there? All right? But the tongue of the wise brings healing. That same tongue that can cause such reckless damage can bring great healing as well, can't it? You know, a few wise words spoken in the right way at the right time can bring healing and comfort and restoration and courage. Look at this one. Gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. The right words. Sweetness. Not in your mouth, but to your soul. You know, honey in ancient times, honey even today actually, can be used medicinally. It was certainly medicinal in ancient times. Brings healing to your body. Gracious words can be like that. You can talk to me. I'll listen to you. Can I help you? Let's tell someone about it. What's upsetting you? Can I pray for you? Healing words. I wonder about you today. Are your words more often reckless, brash, edgy, a bit dangerous? Or are they more often peaceful, healing, and gentle? Jesus said, the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Oh, man. The mouth speaks what the heart is full of. In other words, Jesus is saying, your words are an accurate representation of the state of your heart. See, we like to think that reckless words just sometimes slip out. Like, you know, I said something really out of character. No, Jesus is saying, no. That's in your heart somewhere. That's a true representation of your heart. Let's pray. Lord, we like to think that the things that slip out of our mouths are uncharacteristic. But you say that the things we say are an accurate reflection of our hearts. So help us, therefore, to humble ourselves and listen to the voice of your Spirit. And may our words be sweet to those around us, Lord, we pray. Amen. Amen. Should we do another one? Here we go. As charcoal to embers and as wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome person for kindling strife. Shall we say it together? As charcoal to embers and as wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome person for kindling strife. I love camping, and you can't beat a good campfire, can you? And when at the end of the evening, when the campfire has died down, it's always my aim to build the fire big enough in the evening so that in the morning, when it's died down, you can get it going again. You know, you put some more wood on, give it a bit of a waft with something, you know, blow some oxygen in there, and soon enough you've got a roaring fire again. Well, this proverb links that kind of picture to our words. Let's chew it around a little bit. We can do that with our words, can't we? To take a tiny fire that was just embers, really, that was going out, and we can stoke it back up again into a roaring fire. How? By being a quarrelsome person. Being that person who makes an argument out of nothing. Being that person who makes a huge argument out of a little thing. Maybe something from the past. Maybe something that's almost forgotten. And you bring it up again. And stoke the fire back up again. And the result is, well, it's not just a big fire, is it? It's strife. Strife. It's a great word. I love the word strife. But honestly, we've all got enough strife already, haven't we? Strife is hard work. No one likes strife. And the crazy thing is that the fire was going out anyway. Can you see that? Like, to embers, you know, the arguments burn themselves out very often. Not always, but very often. They just burn themselves out if we leave them alone, if we don't feed them. Well, that takes self-control, doesn't it? Which is one of the fruits of the Spirit. I wonder if you think about yourself this morning. Are you someone who finds it hard to let go of things? Are you someone who brings things up again from weeks ago, months ago, years ago? Father God, we confess that sometimes we've made things much worse by adding fuel to very small fires. We've made arguments sometimes when there didn't need to be arguments. Lord, we confess our lack of self-control. Have mercy on us and forgive us, Lord. Help us to be more like Jesus. We want to be better people. And we need your Spirit's help. Amen. I think I've got two more or something. Actually, I've got about 10 more. But I won't bless you with all of them. Proverbs 27:14. If anyone blesses their neighbour early in the morning, it will be taken as a curse. Ooh, what, eh? Right, let's say it together. If anyone loudly blesses their neighbour early in the morning, it will be taken as a curse. This proverb is all about timing. When to speak and when not to speak. Imagine one morning, you wake up bright and early, 5 a.m., and you decide today is the day I'm going to cheer up my next door neighbour. So you go downstairs, You ring on their doorbell and you keep on ringing until they come downstairs in their dressing gown. And when they open the door, you say to them, "I just wanted to remind you just how much we love having you as neighbours. We think you're lovely people and I hope you have a great day." Or actually, it says, "Loudly bless your neighbour." So maybe you say, "Hey, friend! We love having you as neighbours. May God bless you this morning." How do you think they're going to take it? See, I think some of these proverbs are meant to be funny. I do. They're meant to be funny. They're meant to get under our skin a little bit, to make us think. When someone wakes you up, it doesn't matter what the words are, it feels like a curse. And sometimes in life, you can say the right words, true words, but with bad timing. And you get a very bad response. There's great wisdom here. Great wisdom here. You can speak truth. You can speak God's word to someone. You can be perfectly correct. You can do it with good motivation. You can say something nice to someone who definitely needs to hear it. And it can go out from you with good motivation as a blessing to them. And it still be received as a curse. Why? Timing. Let me give you a good example of this. It's what to say to someone when they're suffering. Someone who's just been diagnosed with cancer, let's say. You can loudly and enthusiastically proclaim, "We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose." Romans 8:28, remember that. And that is perfectly true. And they need to know that. But probably not right at that moment when they've just been diagnosed with cancer. They might need to know it 3 months later, or probably better, 3 months before. And then it might be taken as a blessing. But this week, at this moment, right now, that's likely to be taken as a crushing curse. It sounds like God did this to you, and it's for your own good, by the way. How much better, Romans 12:15, "Rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn." Here's another one. Like one who takes away a garment on a cold day, or like vinegar poured on a wound, is one who sings songs to a heavy heart. Imagine your friend who has a heavy heart for whatever reason. The shoulders are slumped. They look sad. They look worried. They're disappointed. And you think, "Oh, I'm going to cheer them up. I'm going to sing them a song. I'm going to write them a poem." How's it received? Well, it's received like someone taking your coat on a cold day. Or if you cut yourself, someone pouring vinegar on it. It's just timing. It's just down to timing. All the motivations can be correct. It's just down to timing. And maybe this is a word for the more extrovert among us, bubbly people, the naturally enthusiastic. It's not always helpful. When someone's really upset, a hug or a touch is often better than a load of words. When someone's really angry, they're probably not going to hear you. Good advice. Doesn't matter how good it is. Just have to wait it out. When you don't know what to say, it's better to say nothing at the time and go away and think about it. Or when someone's really, really busy, you know, it's best to save your nice words for another occasion. Ecclesiastes 3 says, "There is a time for everything, a time to be silent and a time to speak." It really struck me a while ago. You remember when Jesus, if you know the story in John chapter 11, Jesus' friend Lazarus died. And Lazarus's two sisters, Martha and Mary, were grieving for him. And Martha goes out to meet Jesus as he's coming to the funeral. And Martha has this profound conversation with Jesus. And they talk about theology of resurrection. You know, Jesus says he will rise again. And Jesus says, I'm the resurrection and the life. And whoever believes in me will live even though they die. And Jesus even challenges Martha on that. Do you believe this, Martha? But Mary is very different. And there's an extra little detail in the story. When Jesus meets Mary, she's weeping. And they go to the tomb together and weep together. And it just struck me, why such a different response to two different people, Jesus? And I think the answer is wisdom. Jesus lives out all the Proverbs perfectly. He knew exactly when to speak and when to be silent. Oh, that the Spirit of God would give us that sensitivity to know when to speak and when to stay silent. Please, Lord, give us the wisdom to know the difference. Help us to know when to keep our mouths shut. Holy Spirit, would you please grow that the fruit of your presence that is gentleness, grow that gentleness in us. That helps us to discern the right time to speak. Amen. Let's do one more, shall we? I can't see the time, so yeah, reflection on the clock. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to the inmost parts. Should we say it together? The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to the inmost parts. I wonder what your favourite naughty food is. Maybe you're a chocoholic. Maybe when you go shopping in Lidl, bakery section, tough, isn't it? I succumbed only yesterday. Pretty much all of us love food, I think. There are few greater pleasures in life than food. Think about your choice morsel. Think about going to your favourite shop and carefully choosing from the array of delightful things there are there as your mouth gently salivates. And you open the box or the packet and you sniff. Oh, smells so good, doesn't it? And you dip your fingers in and bring out this delightful morsel. Just rub it over your lips ever so slightly. Have a little nibble. And enjoy that intense pleasure. And then you ram it all in. And you feel the deliciousness go round and round your mouth and your tongue and your lips. And it's beautiful as it goes down into your tummy. Maybe on a good day you give a silent prayer of thanks to God for all of his goodness and all that he's made. That's the choice morsels. The words of gossip are like that as well. Isn't gossip delicious? Let's just own up to that, shall we? We instinctively enjoy hearing things we're not supposed to. Things that may or may not even be true. Did you hear what so-and-so did? Did you hear about such-and-such? The Daily Mail and many others, that's their bread and butter, isn't it? You know, celebrity gossip. Even more dangerous, though, far more dangerous, is when it's people you actually know. when it's about friends, when it's about family, when it's about church. So what do you do when one of those tasty morsels comes your way? Do you smell it? Pat it over your lips. I know I shouldn't enjoy this, but I know that word that says whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy. I know that, but the problem with your favourite food and gossip is not the moment on your lips. It's that it goes down into your inmost parts. We all probably know the English proverb, moment on the lips, lifetime on the hips. Yep. The point is to taste for a moment, but the effects last a lot longer. It's true of gossip as well. Because you can't unhear what you've heard, can you? You can't unhear what someone tells you. And what you hear about someone is going to colour your judgment of them. And especially if it ends up not being true or very biased, like it often is, it's so unhelpful and deeply unfair to them as well. I think maybe we don't treat gossip with the severity that it deserves. Listen to this from Romans chapter 1. This is the Apostle Paul describing sins that characterise the world out there. Lust, perversion, depravity, wickedness, evil, greed, envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice, and gossip. It's quite a list, isn't it, to put gossip in the same list as murder. But he does. I wonder if you're the kind of person who feeds that desire, who is always on the lookout for the latest gossip. I wonder if just a little sniff always results in you stuffing your face with the gossip. Be warned, friends. These things don't go away quickly. Protect yourself. We've got to protect ourselves, haven't we? We've got to protect our community from the long-term damage caused by gossip. Protect ourselves from damaging ourselves from what we take in. Let's pray once more. Lord, please help us to love your word more than we love gossip. May your words be sweet to our taste, sweeter than all the gossip we hear day by day. We confess how easily we are tempted. Please help us by your Spirit. Amen. You know, one time they sent soldiers to arrest Jesus. The religious leader sent soldiers to arrest Jesus. And the soldiers came back empty-handed. And this is what they said. No one ever spoke the way this man does. The soldiers saw Jesus, they heard what he said, and they came back. We couldn't arrest him. How can we arrest this guy? No one speaks like him. You see, Jesus is the embodiment of all these things. Everything we've been talking about this morning, and far more besides. Jesus is wisdom wrapped up in human flesh. And we need the Spirit's help in becoming more like him. We're going to sing. Music team. Let's pray once more though. Holy Spirit, make us more like Jesus, we pray. Help us to submit ourselves to your word, your ways, and your will. Help us to fight the good fight in this world with all the temptations there are around us. Holy Spirit, help us, we pray, with each thought and word and attitude. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.